This is the Billy and the Brian Show. Billy knows and Brian knows how to be snarky,
how to be silly,
how to be funny,
how to be witty,
how to be Brian,
and how to be Billy.
And that's
really, really good to know because it's our show.
All right, welcome to episode 3 of the Billy and Brian Show, a.k.a. what we did over our summer vacation.
The long-awaited episode 3. We have had so many people tell us that they could not wait for another episode.
Wasn't that the same guy twice?
He said that to both of us, but I believe there was a second person.
Mm. All right, well, let's get underway to keep Scott Goldstein and that mysterious other person happy.
I don't think that other person's mysterious.
Oh.
It was yesterday that you told me that she wanted another podcast.
Oh, right.
Anyway, so what we did on our summer vacations, or my summer vacation and your summer, you know, a couple weeks off work.
When you don't get 3 weeks, 3 months in a row off work, you know.
Hey, I only get 2 months.
the week you take in the middle of summer is your summer vacation.
I know. We ruined the country getting paid for 12 months and only teaching 10.
We need to get Chris Christie on the line here.
So my final act of summer vacation, even though I got a couple days left, was heading to the movies for my what turns into a podcast day ritual of seeing a movie before the podcast. I saw our idiot brother today with Paul Rudd and Elizabeth Banks and Zooey Deschanel and thousands of other amazing people. And it was everything I wanted in a movie. It was really, really good. Not the funniest movie I've seen all year, but definitely the best, and had plenty of funny as well.
When I saw that you were going to see that, I was like, damn it, I want to see that. And it's playing at Cobble Hill. I love that movie theater.
And Cobble Hill, I love it mostly because on Tuesday and Thursday nights, it's very cheap. And even more because it actually has matinee prices. I think it might be the only theater I know of in the city that actually has matinee prices.
You don't consider $11.50 before 10 a.m. the matinee price?
No. $13. Actually, I think Pavilion does as well, but I don't want to go there.
Pavilion is the Parkslope Pavilion is the only theater in New York City that is worse than the Regal Court Street in Brooklyn.
I disagree. I would rather see movies. It's okay. The Pavilion feels dirty. Let's just put it that way. The crowds at the Court Street Theater are not the best.
There are seats that look like they've been chopped up with knives at the...
I heard they replaced the seats under bed bug concerns that they've always said there aren't really bed bugs, but they replaced them anyway.
And, like, some of the screens in the Pavilion are smaller than my HDTV at home.
Cobble Hill has small screens, too. In the smaller theaters, but it was good enough. I was worried. There were only 2 people there at 1 o'clock when the movie was supposed to start, so I was a little afraid of the other person being creepy or loud, but... turned into a good 10 or 12 people on a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, the...
teachers, keeping matinees alive.
They didn't all look like teachers. But yeah, I definitely recommend Our Itty Brother. It's everything I wanted. I was extremely afraid of being disappointed. The AV Club gave it a pretty bad review, but, you know, I kept my hopes up, and the cast did not disappoint.
Yeah, that sounds like your dream cast for a movie right there.
Paul Rudd, Elizabeth Banks, Zooey Deschanel is... pretty close to the top 3 people I'd want to see in any movie, especially because Elizabeth Banks has dark hair in the movie and looked like Parker Posey, and I completely forgot that Elizabeth Banks was supposed to be in it, and I wondered why I didn't remember that Parker Posey was in it.
She really does look like Parker Posey. It's
I'm
crazy.
Trying to remember if I ever thought that before, but really, in this movie, she could have been Parker Posey for the first half.
Yeah. Yeah, Elizabeth Banks went to Penn, my alma mater. I never met her or her husband, though.
I've been to Pennsylvania before.
Nice. So, top 5 for this podcast, the top 5 things we like about the state of Maine.
Things about the state of Maine? I interpreted it as the top 5 things about our Maine vacation.
Well, yeah, but the things we like about the state of Maine, I assume, are limited to what we did over our Maine vacation.
It is the only time I've ever been to Maine, so for me at least, that would have to be true.
Okay. Yeah, recently, Brian, myself, Sarv, who was our guest on our last episode, my girlfriend and Sarv's boyfriend all took a trip to Maine together as part of our band trip.
So we're just dispensing with the notion that Sarv was just a famous person that we were able to get for the podcast?
Well, yeah, I assume that we became friends with this famous person.
Oh, of course.
After the podcast.
It was right after that podcast that she said we should take a trip together.
Yes.
And form a fake or a moderately fake rock band.
We're a very real band in the fictional game of rock band.
That's one way to put it. We were actually, I think we booked a show while we were there on the way back in Dunkin' Donuts when we all were sporting our band t-shirts. A nice slash scary old man came up to me and asked what Ugly Sweater is, and I told him that it's a rock band. When he asked what kind of music we play, I did not say wizard rock, although I was tempted.
It would have been cool if you said it was a rock band, and he would have just assumed you had the weirdest stutter in the world.
That would be a weird stutter.
You stutter full words.
Yeah, I tend to do that.
Call you Brian two times. Get the papers.
Pop, pop. But yeah, so he told us about this weird place across from the tiny little airport, and Buffalo Bill might live there, who knows. And I guess next time up to Maine, we're playing a show at
Big Pete's. Donuts in the basket.
Ooh, munchkins. So, top five things from this Maine trip or in Maine. Why don't you start it off?
All right. My number five thing or thing I loved about our Maine vacation was the picnic we had on Otter Cliffs, which is part of Acadia National Park. If you've never been to Acadia National Park, it is quite possibly, in my opinion, the most beautiful place in the entire United States.
And if you've never been to Otter Cliffs, you might have gotten a postcard from me with Otter Cliffs on it.
And Otter Cliffs is this gorgeous red rock cliffs overlooking the ocean. It's great for just hanging out and feeding the seagulls nacho cheese Doritos. And they clearly love them because on all their bills they have this like orange flecks of what I assume are nacho cheese dust.
I hate to break it. No, I'll let you believe that. Yes. It's definitely nacho cheese
dust.
They
respond to the name nacho when I throw Doritos in their direction, so I'm going to assume.
I believe most birds respond to any name whenever you throw them any kind of Dorito. Although I hear they don't like the Cool Ranch.
I don't understand how anybody can love Cool Ranch, but clearly seagulls.
I loved Cool Ranch when I was a kid. I always thought, actually, as a kid, I think I didn't like nacho cheese Doritos because I had eaten too many of them earlier as a younger kid. And for a long time, I just couldn't eat nacho cheese Doritos.
Do you mark the moment that you became a man as when you stopped liking Cool Ranch Doritos?
No.
So we had.
I think that's bar mitzvah is? Does mitzvah mean I don't like Cool Ranch Doritos?
I think bar means I don't.
And mitzvah
is like Cool Ranch Doritos.
Okay. So when people say, oh, that was quite a mitzvah,
like if you
they mean, oh, it's as good as we used to think Cool Ranch Doritos are.
Yes. Like if you said no me gusta mitzvah, I think that would actually mean I don't like Cool Ranch Doritos in a weird Spanish Hebrew combination.
Mitzvah means something totally different in Spanish, and I don't want to talk about it anymore because of our vast, vast Hispanic following. So I'll move right along to my number five. And I've got to say, it was hard to put most of these in order. The top two I had a pretty easy time with. You know, the other three could kind of go anywhere, but there's a place, if you drive an hour or so out of your way, on your way up to Bar Harbor and Acadia, there's a place called Red's Eats.
Red's Eats was number four? You better have a really strong top three.
No, Red's Eats was number five.
Oh, my God.
And I feel like I have a pretty strong top four. So Red's Eats specializes in, or actually, I actually have no idea what Red's Eats really is. I only know what Billy has told me that Red's Eats is. So as far as I know from Billy, it is a place that has lobster rolls and other stuff that you don't care about. And you order a lobster roll, and they kind of just give you three lobsters picked from the shell. Maybe four. Maybe five lobsters if they're tiny ones. But basically, a excellent toasted potato bun with about an entire trap full of lobster meat in it. And the only criticism I have is that they offer you butter or mayonnaise, and they give it to you on the side. And I'm kind of a lazy eater, so I kind of wish that they'd put it on for me. Other than that, it's pretty amazing to see what they will give you, how much lobster they will give you compared to some other lobster rolls anywhere else you ever go.
Yeah. Red's Eats is definitely, in my opinion, the Grimaldi's of Maine. It is the place that you go out of your way to go to. You don't mind waiting in line for 45 minutes because
in the
you
rain.
Know it's going to be awesome. And I've done that at both Grimaldi's and Red's Eats. Waited nearly an hour in the rain to get my food. And they really, like, no exaggeration aside, they brag that they put over a pound of lobster meat in every one of their lobster rolls. If you're trying to figure out, like, how much a pound of lobster meat is, it's probably twice the amount that you get in any lobster roll you buy in New York City. Like, these things...
I'd say at least twice. I mean, because there's no filler either.
Yeah.
Although, I gotta say, I kind of like the filler in a good lobster salad that they put in your average lobster roll. But, I mean, I'm not going to ask for more filler.
It's a family-run business, and the staff there is awesome. The founder, Red, sadly passed away a couple years ago, but his daughters still run the place. And the daughter who is at the register is one of the nicest ladies in the world. I told her that I come to Maine every year, and every time I go to Maine, I have to go to Red's Eats. And she was so happy to hear that.
That's because his parole officer is it in, just outside of Portland.
Now, I love that they give you the I love that they put the mayo on the side, because I hate when places bog down lobster rolls with mayonnaise. What I don't like is they only give you the option of butter or mayo. I always feel like whichever one I pick is going to be the wrong choice. So I went for mayo this time, and it seems to be that if you compliment the lady, she will also throw in butter, and that butter is the way to go. So in the future, I will only get butter.
I actually ordered mayo and got butter, so I don't know what to make of that, but I kind of like it because I pretty much hate decisions, and so forced to decide, I eventually went with mayo, and when I was given butter, that just means that I should have ordered butter, and I knew not to regret it.
Yeah, if anyone listening to this podcast ever goes to Maine, you have to go to Red's Eats in Wiscasset, Maine. You are wasting a trip to Maine if you don't stop at Red's Eats. And if you get there and you're daunted by the line and you go to the place across the street instead, you are making a mistake. Brave the line. You will not regret it. Also, get the onion rings and the fried dough. Just take a nap later.
I don't know when it was that fried dough became everywhere. I've seen it at Mets games, Cyclones games, Red's Eats, many other places. And, I mean, other fried doughs, such as donuts and zeppelis and beignets, I mean, fried dough products have been around for a while, but just cutting out the middleman and just saying, we're going to lay some dough down, throw it in the fryer, throw some cinnamon sugar on, it seems to be a pretty big thing in the food world lately. That's, and by food world, I mean places where your stomach is going to explode.
Not the supermarket food world.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I am quickly becoming a lover of fried dough, especially with cinnamon and powdered sugar on it. My cholesterol rating is probably not a fan of it.
I can't say I'm becoming a fan of fried dough, because it's not like a thing that I ever would have said, not so big on fried dough.
I think you're right. I can't say I'm becoming a fan. I've always been a fan of it.
It's just that it shows up. Actually, the first time I ever saw it labeled as fried dough was walking around Citi Field at the Paul McCartney concert, and I just saw from afar a sign that said fried dough, and I really couldn't believe that they just were out with it. I thought they were going to serve zeppelis, but nope. It was a flat miniature pizza that was dough that was fried. Before we get off the topic of Red's Eats and not spend the entire podcast on it like Billy wanted to do, I believe...
Episode 3, the Red's Eats episode.
Oh, that's right. That's right. There was definitely a New York Times article about Red's Eats in the last year. I might be confusing it, or regardless, David Foster Wallace wrote a piece for probably The New Yorker or The Atlantic about the lobster culture in Maine, and I think he talked about Red's Eats. So it's worth Googling David Foster Wallace lobster and read that. It's got enough footnotes to satisfy you. Good stuff. Billy, number four.
My number four, also food-related, was the Jordan Pond House. It's in Acadia National Park. They serve popovers, which they're famous for. Popovers and tea is what people traditionally go there for. Popovers and lemonade.
Popovers and Coke.
Popovers and anything. Anything you order pretty much comes with a popover. If you just order popovers, though, they charge you like $12 for it.
It is kind of weird. Yeah, the tea and popovers is maybe $10 or $11, and you get two popovers and something else. If you get a sandwich for $8, you get a popover. And the waiter might actually come over with his basket of popovers, say he has a couple left, and of course you'll take an extra popover. And of course they'll charge you for it.
That's sneaky.
I don't regret it. I do not regret it. If you wonder what a popover is, because I guess I didn't know until fairly recently, it's basically take a modified muffin tin with a little bit more space around each cup and then pour in heaven and throw it in the oven. And it just turns into an airy, delightful bread product that is just really, really, really amazingly good.
It seems ridiculous that they only give you one popover with whatever you order. I just want to go there, order baskets of popovers. I don't care about my chicken sandwich. I don't care about drinking lemonade. Just give me more and more popovers, and I will be happy. I will look out at the lake or the pond as it is, even though it's like a mile and a half in diameter.
It is pretty big for a pond.
And one of these days, I'm going to be able to walk around the entire pond and justify going back to Jordan Pond House and getting more popovers after I've already eaten popovers that
if
day.
If we didn't have plans later that day and that we were, you know, maybe cutting it close on missing, I definitely would have kept walking around the entire thing, ended up back at Jordan Pond House and eating maybe 3-4 more popovers. My number four item was actually not food-related, which may be a little surprising. We went kayaking one afternoon, and I've been kayaking before. It's always a heck of a lot of fun. Nothing too special to say about this time, but, man, kayaking's a lot of fun.
Yeah, kayaking is a lot of fun. It's a good workout. It's super beautiful up there. We're on Long Pond in Acadia National Park, which is not in the main part of the park. You have to drive, I think, to Southwest Harbor to get there, which is where we were actually staying, and we went kayaking there last year, and then with you guys, we were able to do that again, and I loved it.
There's a lot of people who have houses on the pond, and I don't know if they're how many people own the houses, how many are beach houses, how many are rented out, but that would be definitely an excellent place if I had to leave Brooklyn to live and just dive into the pond and take a bath every morning.
I really want Sarv to become a rich and famous writer so that she can buy a house on that pond and we could just go hang out there.
And then have chicken fights with Stephen King, wherever his house is located.
Chicken fights, McBecca!
Where are we? Your number four?
My number three is also... this is my only non-food related thing in this top five. It is also a body of water, but mine is Echo Lake, where we went swimming. My girlfriend and I discovered Echo Lake last year. We were the first ones ever to go there, except for the indigenous population.
Okay. Other people just kind of never noticed that there was a lake there?
I'm pretty sure. Despite that, we found out there was a parking lot when we hiked down to it. So we saw it from the top of a mountain and decided, oh,
so you excavated? You discovered Echo Lake and excavated an archaeological site of a parking lot?
No, the parking lot was there. Guessing it was there from like Mayan times, because little known fact, Mayans very big in Maine.
That's why it's called Maine.
Right. It's really mine.
Oh, yeah. It's like maize and corn.
Yeah, it's like the way the Mayans say mine. It's mine.
No, that's, because they got it. They were named after first. The seagulls, because the seagulls make that noise.
Well, the seagulls
and
make that noise because of the Mayans.
They're calling out to the Mayans and saying, yes. Give me nacho cheese Doritos.
Yes, because
invented by the Mayans.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, it's a fact. So we hiked down there, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And this was probably the most grueling hike I ever did in Acadia National Park. It involved iron rung ladders and steep wet rocks, and nearly hitting my head on a fallen tree. And we finally make it down, and we notice there are a bunch of people there because they drove there with a parking lot that was 5 feet away.
And when I had heard this story before, and then when we saw at the Acadia Visitor Center, their welcome video that showed some of the things that exist in the park, such as iron ladders carved into rock and bolted into the rocks. Basically, my first thought was, this is the only thing I really care about doing. This looks awesome. The falling and almost breaking your head part sounds amazing. Climbing ladders, pretty much dying on a trail, seeing snakes.
It's that like was, an outdoor version of Donkey Kong.
Yeah, so that was pretty much, you know, my number one thing that I really wanted to do that didn't involve eating anything. And, you know, Echo Lake was great. Both wading in the lake, climbing this thing, climbing back down, which is much scarier. Definitely enjoyed that.
So what was Now, that was your number. That was my number three.
My number three was Real Pizza, R-E-E-L Pizza, which is a hilarious pun because it's a movie theater that serves pizza, which I have never understood why it hasn't caught on in New York. I know there have been some places that either let you drink or let you eat food or have deluxe food in their pizzerias, but I don't know why it's not a common thing. Even if it was a second-run movie theater, I can't believe it doesn't happen. But if you don't know, they basically, you order pizza out in the lobby. There's a big bingo board on the side that I've never noticed our number coming up until someone else pointed it out. So I would probably go most of a movie missing my pizza. But when your number comes up on the bingo board, you rush out to the lobby, pick it up, come on back and eat. They have trays behind the seats, or they have couches and TV trays that you can sit in. And the movies we saw were Submarine and Midnight in Paris, both of which were extremely good.
Yeah, I actually had Real Pizza on my list too. That was my number two, with only Red Seats behind it, in front of it. I love Real Pizza. I've seen really good movies there. I saw Inception last year, saw these two movies this year. I can't imagine going to Bar Harbor and not going to Real Pizza, though I seem to always luck out with what movies are playing there. So I looked at some of the other weeks that we could have gone, and it could have been like two clunkers in a row.
Yeah, I forget. Horrible Bosses was the movie we didn't see that weekend, which I had already seen and would have seen again. I forget what else was showing. Oh, Tree of Life was showing next to Submarine.
I'm so glad Submarine was playing, because I do not want to see Tree of Life.
Yeah. If you haven't heard of Submarine, I'm not very surprised. It's a pretty small Welsh movie, and sort of, I don't know, it has kind of a Rushmore feel to it, but it's hard to really compare it to that. Definitely worth seeing. Understated little movie.
It'll probably be coming to a Netflix instant streaming near you in the not-too-distant future.
One can only hope. So you went down to Red Seats was number one, and that was your whole list?
Oh, yeah, Red Seats is number one. It is one of my favorite eateries in the entire United States. That was definitely my number one.
Okay, we've already covered the rest of my list also. My number two was everything around Echo Lake, and my number one was Jordan Pond House. Between the popovers, it was a beautiful day, especially on our drive up. It was torrential rain. I was even a little scared by how much rain there was heading through Connecticut. And then when we were there, it was pretty much beautiful the entire time, especially that afternoon at Jordan Pond House. And also the walk around the pond was a lot of fun, taking pictures in the woods. Great time.
Yeah, and I think even though Red Seats is my number one, would probably be my number one every year, this year was especially good because our friend Sarv couldn't eat her entire lobster roll and gave me half of hers, which, if anybody knows anything about me, it's like, I love to eat, especially stuff I like.
Especially stuff that other people can't finish.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, the best thing about the trip overall was that five friends packed into a Ford Explorer, still being friends afterwards, after a 14-hour drive in both directions, or however much it was. That's a small miracle in and of itself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
One thing that wouldn't have made my list, but that I just have to rave about, is Sirius Satellite Radio. I had my doubts. I've heard people liking it. I didn't care about Howard Stern or the talk radio that they have on there, so I didn't care about that. But it is amazing in that there's just stations that actually have good music on them. There's the 90s station, which we probably listen to more than anything else. You can even set up artist alerts so that if the Foo Fighters are playing on Channel 32, you can instantly go to it and you won't miss a beat.
Every 2 minutes, the Foo Fighters or Green Day are on.
Yeah, the Foo Fighters and Green Day had a lot. My favorite thing about it, definitely not the best music about it, but my favorite thing was when the Verve Pipe came on and sang Freshman. I was extremely excited to put in an artist alert just to see what would happen. And unlike a lot of people, I do remember that they had a second hit, but the song that came up when the alert popped twice was some song on the kids' station that I'd never heard of. Apparently, the Verve Pipe have three songs. Three songs, you guys. The Verve Pipe. Not the Verve, but the Verve Pipe. Small wonders.
So Bittersweet Symphony, is that the third one?
That's the Verve.
Oh, sorry.
/ the Rolling Stones.
All right, so that's our top five for this episode. Now, Brian, you had a lot of time off this summer, so you were able to make another road trip down south.
Yeah, the last few times I've gone to visit a number of friends who live in either Virginia or Charleston, South Carolina, I've stopped flying there, partly because it's sort of expensive to fly, and driving, even after gas and tolls, isn't that expensive. Foreshadowing. And I really just, over the years, I used to love flying, and now just the rigmarole of using the word rigmarole and all of the stuff that goes into flying, from getting to the airport early, from having to pack your liquid separate if you're going to check a bag, from paying to check a bag. It's just annoying to fly. And most drives, even if it takes 8 hours to drive somewhere, you're going to spend most of that 8 hours going to the airport, waiting for your plane, getting off the plane and waiting. So I definitely prefer drive. And I just like to drive and listen to, if not Sirius XM, all the podcasts that I haven't listened to all summer.
Including ours? Do you just listen to ours on repeat?
Are there other podcasts?
No, no, that I'm aware of.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought podcast was like our name for it.
Yeah, I believe I coined that. I think it's a Mayan word.
Okay, because you recorded the first one on your iPod, and then we just, you know, accidentally while we were talking, and then we decided to actually put it out there.
I knew there was a reason why we called it podcast.
Oh, yeah. So this trip, as I said, less expensive to drive down. The plan was to drive down on a Thursday night, pick up my friend Melissa and her husband Jeff in Richmond, Virginia, and either sleep overnight there and then drive to Charleston the next day, or hopefully drive to Charleston that night, get in around midnight, 1 a.m. As it turned out, I was driving through Alexandria, Virginia, when my car started to not sound very good and started to knock a little bit and started to rumble around a little bit. And, you know, when that check engine light comes on and flashes, I think you're supposed to do something.
So how far are you from your friend's place at this point?
According to Google Maps, which routed me through Alexandria instead of, you know, staying on 95, which maybe was traffic, maybe was Google not being happy with me, who knows. But they said another 2.5 to 3 hours, when it probably should have been an hour, but because of traffic, about 3 hours. So I pull over somewhere in Alexandria, check under the hood, don't see anything exploding, and having exhausted my knowledge of cars, called Melissa, who knows more than a thing or two about cars. She, you know, asked me if there was oil in it. I said, I think so. I Googled and found an AutoZone nearby so they could at least read the check engine light codes. They told me, oh, yeah, you could probably drive 3 hours on it. Even though this is a place that doesn't fix cars, they're just guys who read it off of computer.
I told you, we mostly just sell Windex.
Yeah, we could sell you some oil. So I turned around, drove towards South Glebe Road, which I had just come off of, and which South Glebe Road played a big role in this weekend. Apparently everything goes through South Glebe. All roads lead to South Glebe, which I'm sure everyone knows. Sorry to speak in cliches. As I'm waiting for a long time in the left turn lane, I see some exhaust on my left and exhaust on my right that's more smoky than exhaust should be and probably came out of my car.
It sounds like the hook of a good like Motown song.
Yeah, so I was stuck in Alexandria with, and by you I mean this car that was not cooperating. So I turned around 2 blocks past AutoZone. There was a mechanic, which I had seen before, so I went back to him, asked him very meekly if the car could be ready tonight. And he said, of course, no.
Did he laugh in your face?
I wouldn't say that.
Is it menacingly?
I'm not saying he didn't, but I wouldn't say that.
Was there a moi in front of his ha 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 ha?
I did kind of hear a little bit of that. So, you know, I told him, well, if I can leave it here, this was Thursday afternoon. If I can come back on my way back on Monday, if it's ready to drive to New York and I won't just be stranded here for the rest of my life. So I paid to rent a car, drove to Richmond, at this point several hours after, picked up Melissa and Jeff. They drove the rest of the way overnight after stopping at the Richmond airport to add them as drivers, as, of course, responsible adults do. Drove overnight, showed up at our friend Nick and Brooke's house at probably 4:45.
In the evening? Morning?
Well, the time when it's really, really dark out. So 5 a.m., which surprisingly exists.
Is Nick still your friend?
Yeah. So we, after some trouble, found their apartment and, you know, got in for 3 hours of sleep before the mechanic called me back to let me know that there was another problem with it that they could add to it. So in a hopeless attempt to make a long story short, I will add the fact that there was also a nick in my windshield, which turned into several inches and then several more inches in my windshield, so that got to be replaced. And basically, I spent most of the weekend worrying about how much money I was going to spend.
And then when they replaced your windshield, you were telling me that they they threw out one of your stickers on your windshield, right? One of the important ones?
Yeah, my inspection sticker, which means an instant ticket. Yeah, it's very, very funny. So I did, when I got back to New York at like 6 p.m. on Monday, I parked hoping that in the morning by the time I went back to get my car inspected, yeah, I wouldn't get a ticket. In the one stroke of luck, I didn't. Had a bit of fun with the inspection itself. Finally made it free and clear. My long automotive nightmare is over for now.
I had to get my car inspected recently, too. And inspections should be free in New York State. They charge, I think, $37 for it. But it's complete
$37 pass or fail.
Yeah, it's complete license for the mechanic just to say, oh, your car failed, and suddenly Billy owes the mechanic $700 to fix a variety of things that passed inspection last time.
I also wondered and feared viciously, what happens if you fail? They just send you away with your car for you to, what, get tickets all the time, junk your car?
You will get tickets all the time, and if you take it somewhere else, it used to be that you could just take it to another mechanic. I know this from my youth and my dad's car failing an inspection. Now they're all linked together. It used to be like if you failed an inspection, it'd be like, F you, I'm taking it to this mechanic in the Bronx instead. Now it goes into like a state computer that you failed the inspection. So if you take it to another mechanic, he's like, oh, well, I can't pass you because this other mechanic says that you need this, this, and this.
I kind of feel like that in the biggest thing. I assume that most of it was through the computer, and if you had certain emissions levels that were too high, they said it was a problem. I don't know exactly how this works.
Neither do I.
The other thing is, I thought you were going to say that if you fail and get it fixed, then I believe you can get a new inspection for no money, but I think you have to take it back to the original inspection station. But I don't know. So it's a mess.
Yeah, I know nothing about cars, which leads to anytime I bring it to the mechanic and they say, you need X, Y, and Z, me just going, oh, okay, I'll write a check when I get there.
See, I know a lot about cars, so I say, do we really need that? And then regardless of what they say, I agree with them. So it does add that one more step.
Yeah, I like my method better just because my car never had a complete and total breakdown in the middle of Virginia.
Yeah, it wasn't complete and total. I could have driven it further. It just would have exploded after that. But the trip to Charleston was great. I saw a number of friends who I don't get to see enough who are all planning on moving to New York just to make that easier for me. Mostly for me personally, I believe. Saw an excellent Guster concert.
Did you only go to one? I thought you were like following them around for some reason.
No, this trip, last year we saw Wilco 3 days in a row, or three
cities in a row.
Does
that make
you a
Wilco head? Like, if you follow a band around, do you just automatically put head behind the band name?
No, it makes you a Roger Wilco.
Ah.
Or for a girl, Roger Wilco.
Huh? Would be a good head.
Well, for Guster fans, at least according to their emails, are Gusteroids, which I'm not sure the etymology, whether it comes from hemorrhoids or asteroids, and I've never asked, but
I was assuming steroids because Ryan from Guster is such like a man.
That's true. He is pretty buff. In other Guster news, I just found out from their email, and everyone should know this if you don't follow Guster, if you hear the new single from The Game featuring Chris Brown, in addition to Chris Brown probably punching people who shouldn't be punching, they sample a 14-year-old Guster song, Rocket Ship. And so that's the little guitar line happening the entire way through the song. It kind of freaked me out to listen to. I just couldn't see those worlds colliding. But it was pretty amazing. So I now have to recommend a song by The Game, whoever that is.
You don't know who The Game is? He's a rapper.
Yeah. That's is he in A Tribe Called Quest?
No, he's not in A Tribe Called Quest.
Is he in The Roots?
I believe he was a West Coast
Is he in The Beastie Boys? Because if he's not in one of those, I don't think... Is he in The Diggable Planets?
I believe he was a protege of Dr. Dre.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Maker of your Beats headphones. You know.
Oh, I don't have those.
No. So this summer was full of a lot of fun days at the beach. I managed to go to the beach, it seems like, once every other week, which is the most I've been at the beach in years. And it didn't seem like enough this year.
Yeah, I don't think I've been to the beach in several years, and I guess I don't really know why after spending so much time there this summer.
I credit this to the beautiful beaches in Long Beach, Long Island. It is on the South Shore.
You know, it's actually just one beach. It's just really long.
Good point. Now, it's $12 to get on the beach, which would immediately drive my cheap ass to not liking this beach, except the beach is beautiful, very well maintained.
And you know what beach is free to get onto?
Coney Island,
yeah.
I shudder even thinking about
it. I kind of want to spend $12 just not to have to lay on the sand at Coney Island. I don't even need the other beach.
We have friends who are in the Polar Bear Club and on New Year's Day every year jump in the water at Coney Island. And I can't see doing that for two reasons. One, because it's crazy cold out on New Year's Day. And two, you're on Coney Island, which is gross in the summertime. And I don't think it gets any better in January. But Long Beach, amazing. And it's also the beach where Brian learned to surf.
Yeah. A few of us took surf lessons offered by, I think, D-List. I think that was the Groupon site du jour, which was not actually Groupon. And
I took that day as an opportunity to read on the beach.
Yeah, I read on the beach afterwards. But the surf lesson was a lot of fun. I definitely want to do it again. Mostly because I didn't do very well. I had a huge problem just getting through the waves to get onto the board and then fall off it. But I didn't have nearly enough chances to fall off the surfboard, so I'd like to do it again to get another shot at it. It was a lot of fun. I was not at any time afraid of drowning. Although, there was another day at Long Beach when I was slightly afraid of drowning, but in the best possible way. The last time we went...
Reverse wave.
Yeah, it was scary. We had an Inception-like moment. Basically, we were just standing in the waves, you know, playing in the waves like everyone does when they go to the beach. And the waves had gotten pretty fierce over the course of the day. And eventually, one wave came over top of us. And, of course, you know, we surfaced. And then, suddenly, Julie yells, "What the fuck is that?" And from the beach comes another wave. Now, if you're not familiar with the ocean, you should know that waves usually come from the ocean towards the beach, not the other way around. This one came the other way around. So after just surfacing from under a wave, a normal wave, the reverse wave came, almost killed me.
Were you facing the ocean, the way waves usually come? So
I was facing,
coming,
yeah, of course.
So
I was facing the way, facing the way that you normally face so that you don't drown. And, you know, when Julie yelled suddenly, I turned and ducked. And, you know, so she saved my life just a little bit that day. And
I was on the shore at that point, about to come into the water, saw this happen, and immediately returned to our blanket and started.
I will say it was pretty much the coolest thing that I've ever done in the ocean. After that, the waves just kept getting fierce, and, you know, swimming in with the waves, I did get lifted definitely out of the water at some point, somehow, and I should say at many points, and thrashed back into the bottom of the seabed. But I consider that a lot of fun. Later on, there was at least one more reverse wave that just smacked into an oncoming wave at the same time. It was awesome.
So do they cancel each other out, like sound waves of opposite frequencies, or?
No, they both drown you.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. Long Beach is awesome. If anybody listening to this podcast has another beach they can recommend, we'd definitely appreciate it because I love Long Beach, but that $12 a day to go there, that is kind of steep.
And it's a lot closer to the city than you might imagine. You know, that's one thing that stopped me from going to beaches is just driving to Jersey or driving out to Long Island seems like a big task.
Mm.
But, I mean, definitely if you go on the weekends, it's going to be a little bit worse. If you don't have to go on the weekend, always makes it better.
So New York City over the past 2 weeks seems to just be inviting natural disasters. We had a...
Michelle Bachman, it says, it's because we want to spend on Social Security.
Hmm.
Michelle Bachman is crazy.
Yeah, she is crazy. And that's it, just crazy. Not like crazy, good looking, just crazy.
Crazy like a fox, but only if you're talking about the crazy kinds of foxes.
And not foxy. I don't understand the people who find her good looking. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's
kind of
weird.
She is
I think you're just upset because you were so hot for Sarah Palin that...
I was also one of the people who didn't think Sarah Palin was that hot. She's okay, I guess, until she opens her mouth.
There's a term that floats around that is blank hot, as in politician hot or sports anchor hot, where it's basically fields where you don't necessarily assume that women are going to be attractive, and the ones that are pretty attractive, people make a big deal out of.
That sounds pretty sexist, Brian, because like politician hot. Most guy politicians are really ugly too.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying it's what floats around there in the frat boy culture that
Barack
I'm a
Obama's
huge part
of. Politician hot.
Yeah. If you know, those big ears probably wouldn't fly if he weren't the leader of the free world.
Fair enough.
So Michelle Bachmann was talking about how earthquakes and hurricanes are coming to destroy us all because, you know, we don't run national economic policy correctly.
Now, I don't know where any of our listeners were during the earthquake. Brian and I were actually out to lunch at a deli and did not know an earthquake happened. I found out 10 minutes before Brian because I walked back to my office and my coworkers were all outside. And I'm like, hey, guys, fire drill? And they're like, what are you talking about? We had an earthquake just now. Our building was shaking 10 feet in either direction. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I found out. Well, actually, I found out when Billy came back to let me know this. But a friend of mine, Crystal, had texted me from Charleston and said something along the lines of crazy earthquakes. I assumed that Charleston just had an earthquake and was going to call her back after lunch to make sure everything was okay. Billy comes back. I found out there was a New York earthquake and said, oh, wow, she heard about the New York earthquake, wanted to check up on me. I find out later it was everywhere.
Yeah, up and down the East Coast. It's crazy that an earthquake in Virginia would be felt in Charleston and in New York City and even Maine, getting us back to our original story. But I feel really upset because I kind of like – I slept through the earthquake, but not on my own – not because of myself. This stupid building I was in is like super earthquake-proof.
Yeah. The earthquake envy is definitely going around with a lot of people want another earthquake to live through it, which is a horrible thing to say. But I have to admit I kind of, you know, can't – I mean I can say I survived the earthquake, but not even feeling it, it just feels cheap and hollow.
Yeah. And then I have friends who are like, oh, yeah, I felt a little queasy. I think that was the earthquake. And I'm like, wait a second. That just might have been the sushi you ate for lunch.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. And then the hurricane came. The mayor shut down the subway. And I'm not going to complain about whatever steps New York took, especially because outside the city it was a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse. My only complaint is that the subway was shut down at noon on a Saturday. Could have easily lasted till 6 or midnight before shutting everything down.
I disagree completely. I think that decision to shut down was a really good idea. They have a lot of equipment that needs to be – they had to put – now, when they shut down at noon, that was when the last train left for its journey. And for the A train, that's a two-hour ride. Now, you're talking about a one-and-a-half, two-hour ride for any of these lines. And then after they reached the end, they actually had to go all the way back to where they started from.
Sure. So I still think – I mean, I'm not saying it was a bad decision. I'm not saying they were totally wrong. I just think that there was definitely time, and even most of the forecast said that there was definitely time to give the city another couple hours to survive. Yeah, not the worst decision. And overall, as much as the mayor is a horrible, terrible person who hates me and everyone who has my job, I can't fault El Blumbito very much at all.
Yeah, I was really behind the shutting down of the subways. It was actually my idea. I was also deciding vote on it. I regret nothing.
I just wanted to get to yoga that morning.
Yeah, I feel really bad. It seems like New York City didn't get hit too hard compared to the outlying areas. And I just want to say, anyone who I saw on Facebook writing, oh man, this is BS, you call this a hurricane, don't be a jerk. Like, a lot of people are still without power. There are holes in people's houses. Just because it didn't affect you personally doesn't mean it didn't screw over a crap ton of people.
Yeah, I would laugh at all of the hurricane tweets, but the ones that, you know, said it wasn't a big deal or are completely making light of the entire thing or said it wasn't much of a hurricane, that's a really good thing. So it's all right.
These are the same people who I'm sure during the blizzard were like, why didn't the city do this? Like, there's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking going on with this hurricane, same as there was with the blizzard. The blizzard justified the hurricane. It's like, oh, wow, the city overreacted because I personally didn't have anything bad happen to me. It's like, be happy and get on with your week.
Yeah, but enough hurricane venting.
So what did you do during the hurricane to pass the time? Because you were stuck indoors. You don't live with anybody anymore. You don't have a roommate.
Yeah, I kind of approaching the hurricane, I just really felt like I was going to be really bored. And that was the only reason I was really, I wasn't afraid of anything happening, although I was cautious. But, you know, I was just kind of a downer because I thought I'd be bored. Luckily, Cablevision, in their infinite wisdom and the one good thing I've ever seen them do, added BBC America to their lineup. So our friend Sarv let me come over. I braved the
our new friend
horrible,
Sarv.
Horrible three-block walk through a medium rain to get to watch the new episode of Doctor Who. And aside from that...
No spoilers. I'm still in season one.
Aside from that, I basically just let Friday night's lights play on a loop, learned about James Vanderbeek getting a new job as a paralyzed quarterback.
James Vanderbeek is not on Friday Night Lights.
I believe you're on. No.
City Blues.
No, I know Matt Saracen is not James Vanderbeek. Jason Street is, without a doubt, Dawson.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights is quickly becoming one of my favorite shows. I wish I watched it while it was on TV because I wish it was still on TV. I'm in season two right now, so if you are watching it, don't spoil anything for me. Brian is racing through Friday Night Lights and has almost caught up with
me. I do feel a little weird when I say I watched season one in, you know, a day and a half.
You should feel weird about that.
Yeah. I mean, I basically just was stuck inside, had it playing, hit play every time a new episode came on, read a book during some of the episodes, surfed the internet during some of the episodes, did some housework during some of the episodes, but... Yep, it was on a pretty constant stream. And it's funny. Same thing happened with Doctor Who. When you have, you know, 2 months free in the summer, you happen to watch a lot of TV, especially if you're afraid of getting sunburned by being outside too much or if it's 95 degrees out. And so with both Doctor Who and Friday Night Lights, I watched a lot of episodes in a short amount of time, and I wouldn't even say I love these shows. I like them both. I definitely wanted to watch them. But not nearly as much as it would seem for getting through 22 episodes in 28 hours or so.
Yeah, I'm amazed that you multitask during both of these shows. I like them both a lot, and they're both shows that I just watch intently. Like, it's not like a Two and a Half Men or I don't know, a Growing Pains rerun where you know what you're getting and you're just gonna like go do something else and you could just sit there and you'll still catch all the best parts.
Yeah, I'm easily distracted. So it's always good to have a set distraction in front of me so that I know exactly what is going to keep me away.
I'm currently putting my pen shiny side in front of Ryan, seeing if he'll dart off to the kitchen when I throw it
really,
in.
Really, really glad he doesn't have a laser pointer because I would get that dot.
Brian,
I would so get that dot.
Brian is half kitten, as it turns out.
What else happened during the hurricane?
We had a massive game of Internet Mario Kart.
That's true. It's been a long time since I've turned on my Wii or my PlayStation to not play video or to not watch Netflix.
I don't believe that because you are too good at Mario Kart. I personally believe that you practice Mario Kart every day, at least 3 hours a day. You seem to know all of the courses. You seem to beat everybody else most of the time.
Actually, your brother won.
Once.
I would say I don't know. All right, fine. I did really well. I don't mind. But no, honestly, I have not. I don't think I've played Mario Kart since that time when I played it a lot and got everything accomplished. I don't think I've picked it up since then.
Did you do that all in an 18-hour period?
No. That one took me kind of a while. Speaking of laser pointers and dots and animals chasing after them, I think we're time to start wrapping up with a couple last-minute recommendations for all of our many, many listeners. The number one thing I have to say, which changed today because I want everyone to see Our Idiot Brother and enjoy it as much as I did, but up until then I was going to tell you all that you need to jump on Hulu. I don't know how many episodes are still available, but you need to see Wilfred from FX. It's a show starring Elijah Wood as kind of a depressive guy who happens to befriend his neighbor's dog. And his neighbor's dog is played by an Australian dude in a dog suit. And
it's really funny.
Sort of Calvin and Hobbesian, sort of Snoopy-ish, very dark, and the funniest thing I've watched all summer.
Yeah, if you like Louie, I think you'll definitely like the humor in this.
I wouldn't even say that. Louie goes a little bit more towards the awkward humor. I'm not saying anything bad about Louis, but there are definitely episodes where it's doing something more than just comedy. Whereas Wilfred, there's definitely something to it, but it's just really, really, really funny. If you like Louis, you'd probably like it. If you don't like Louis, you should watch it anyway.
I'm recommending DC Comics is, in a scant few hours of us recording this, and probably it will have already happened by the time you listen to this, DC Comics is canceling all of their titles and restarting them with all new number ones. And a lot of comic book stores are actually selling the first issue of this, which is Justice League number one by the comic superstar team of Jim Lee and Jeff Johns, at midnight tonight, because comics, as everybody knows, go on sale on every Wednesday, which is why I have a weekly Wednesday Pavlovian response of needing to get to a comic book store. But if you are in New York City, you could go to Midtown Comics, Forbidden Planet, or Jim Hanley's Universe tonight, and at midnight, you could buy this issue and read it before anybody else. I personally will be asleep and will just stroll over to my local comic book store around lunchtime tomorrow to pick up this issue. But it's pretty
odd. Yeah, me too. Oh, so I thought you meant right now you would be asleep. I didn't catch a single word of it.
It's pretty audacious on DC's part, because not only are they restarting all their issues at number one, they are de-aging their characters, so they're less experienced. Superman no longer wears his underpants on the outside of his his costume. Superman also wears armor. And if you're a Superman, why do you wear armor? Don't know. You'll find out in a couple of weeks when the new Superman number one comes out. My personal picks, though, for the DC Comics relaunch, Justice League, you have to get it. Batwoman looks awesome. The art is amazing. And if you are ever going to buy a Wonder Woman comic, it should be the Wonder Woman comic that is part of this relaunch, because Brooklyn's own Cliff Chiang's art looks amazing, and it is written by Eduardo Risso, who wrote the 100 Bullets graphic novels.
So, whatever he said, go watch Wilfred. See Our Idiot Brother, which if you still have something else, I know that everyone, as I am, is a fan of 1990s DC area art punk band Shudder to Think, whose guitarist Nathan Larson did the music for this, as well as he's done a number of movies in the past. It was directed by Jesse Peretz, who directed some of the best Foo Fighters videos. So if you have any...
Did Jesse Peretz direct the Mentos one?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, that's the best one. Well, what about the one with Rashida Jones? That one was really good, too.
Learn to Fly was pretty good. The Mentos one was pretty good.
Learn to Fly one's awesome.
What was the Rashida Jones, who was also in Our Idiot Brother?
It was on their last album, and I can't... Long Road to Ruin.
Okay. I don't think I ever saw that video.
It's a really good video. It features the Davy Girlton band. But before we leave, everybody... Brian, you sent me an email today saying, "Don't let me forget to spread the gospel of your way or the doorway."
Oh,
I'd
man.
I'd explain, but save it for the podcast. I have no idea what this means.
So, everyone knows the phrase, "My way is the highway." Sorry.
I think it's
my way.
That's
not the phrase at all.
I don't think anybody knows that phrase.
That phrase means that my way is the highway. Everyone knows that you travel down my way. You don't detour.
My way or the
highway. You don't take an hour off to Red's Eats.
Your way is not the highway, because it's my way.
There's also another phrase, which is more to the point, my way or the highway, which means you can either listen to Frank Sinatra sing My Way, you can listen to Tom Cochran sing Life is a Highway, and either one is fine.
If anyone else is confused by this, you're not alone.
But my friend Jeff came up with the phrase. He was trying to think of, you know, a different way, and he came up with your way or the doorway. Because, you know, instead of my way, there's got to be something else, and highway doesn't rhyme with your way. And his meaning for it, you know, we were trying to adapt and make it work in situations, and it didn't, but we came across the way, and I should explain that with this group of friends I have, most of whom live in Charleston, there's a whole lot of, you know, trying to decide what to do, what movie to see, where to go out, and nobody wants to make a decision. Nobody wants to be responsible for everybody else having a bad time if that were to happen. So it's always just, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Your way or the doorway is our revolutionary technique to get someone to make a decision. You choose someone and you throw your way or the doorway at them, and they have to pick. If they don't decide on something, everyone hits the doorway, doesn't hang out with you at all.
Wow, that's pretty bold.
And it worked.
I have some other suggestions for things that rhyme with your, if you don't want to do doorway. You could do your way or the s'more way, which is like, hey, Brian, you want to see the Conan movie tonight? Your way or the s'more way. Because actually, you know what? Maybe I really do like s'mores. Maybe we'll go with that instead. Or
so basically, it's like you can either do this or s'mores. Your choice.
I think s'mores is going to win a lot.
Yeah.
There's your way or the more way, which would be you either do whatever you had in mind or we go watch a Michael Moore movie and or listen to a Mandy Moore album, which is a good way to get your to do. I think that would actually work better than your way the doorway.
That's Mandy Moore's kind of okay. I thought it was like your way or the Moor way, M-O-O-R, which either means you go to Scotland.
Like invade Spain or?
Yeah, or invade Spain.
And then, actually that's all I got. And then there's your way or the snore way, which would be we do your thing or I take a nap.
I'm going to go with your way or the doorway.
I like s'more
way. And it has been proven to work.
If anyone ever wants to give me s'mores, yes.
On that note, I think we're done with episode 3. Hopefully it won't take so long to record episode 4. If you have any questions for our upcoming guest, Greg Kreindler, painter of all things baseball, send him our way.
Yeah. See you soon.